Welcome once again to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're with us. My name is Chris Reeves, the host of the program, and this is brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Last week on the program, we began a study of Ezekiel chapter 18, looking at how that God holds mankind responsible and accountable for their sins. And I made the statement last week that I want you to remember just a few words, and that is change, not blame. When there is sin in our lives, we need to change, friends, not blame. And so we began a study last week, and I want to conclude that this week. Thank you for being with us. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. As I mentioned last week, this study is so important, because we live in a world today where people are not held accountable. Parents will not hold their children accountable for their actions. We find it in school. We find it in the workplace. We find it in society. We find it with government and parents and employers and law enforcement and other situations where someone needs to hold someone accountable. Often that is not the case. Not in every case, but in many cases we're seeing a decline in accountability. And so we see an increase then in lawless behavior. And the same is true not only with man's laws, but also with God's laws. So last week, we noticed in Ezekiel chapter 18, 1 through 3, that God's people, the Jews, had just gone into Babylonian captivity. And they're in Babylon, and Ezekiel is preaching to them in the outskirts, in the province, by the river Chebar. He is ministering to them, preaching to them. Even after they've gone into captivity, God wanted them to have his word so that they could continue to learn, even during this period of judgment, how to live right with him. And so they were saying, Ezekiel 18, 1 through 3, we're being blamed for our ancestors' sins. And they were using this statement, it's called a proverb, and God says, You can no longer use this proverb. I'm going to correct your thinking on this. Each person who sins is punished for his or her own sins. They are held accountable for his or own sins. Your father, your ancestors don't sin, and then you inherit their sin or you inherit their guilt. They're held guilty for their sins. You're held guilty for your sins. And so this proverb, this statement, is being answered. It's being rebuked or debated by God in Exodus 18, 1 through 3. And we learn right at the outset that God says, every soul belongs to me. All souls are mine. Exodus 18, verse 4. We're all held accountable before God. And then even the details of that accountability are given in this chapter. So last week we noticed chapter 18, verses 5 through 20 teaches the matter of individual sin. We noticed that there is a just and righteous father, and then he has a son that is a wicked person, and then he has a son that ends up being a righteous person, like his grandfather. Each person is different. Each person may or may not be righteous or wicked. They all exercise their free will. And we noticed that last week. So individual accountability was the main theme of verses 5 through 20. This morning on the program, I want to finish the chapter by looking at verses 21 through 31. And by doing that, we're going to see that the theme changes a little bit now to the idea of change and repentance. You don't have to stay in the wicked life that you're in. You can get out of that. And even the righteous person, if he is not careful, he can end up being wicked. So there's change going on here. Sometimes change for the worse, sometimes change for the better. So in verses 5 through 20, there is this idea of accountability. And in 21 through 32, there is this main thought of change. And both of these ideas are very important in our society today. Many people are saying, well, you know, we're not accountable for what we do. We're just born that way, or our environment made us that way. And that's not what God teaches. So that's a very important lesson. A second lesson that we need today is that we can change. Some people say, well, I just have to stay the way I am. I've been this way for so long. There's no way I can change. That's just an excuse, friends. You can change, and God wants you to change. And we're going to see today that God is a loving God, and He does not want to punish you for your sin. A lot of people have a wrong idea of God, that He's sitting up in heaven just waiting for someone to sin so that He can punish them. He does not have any delight whatsoever in punishing the wicked. He will. But you can change. You can change and receive the rewards and the blessings of God and not His wrath and anger and punishment. So the theme this morning primarily is that of change. We don't have to stay in the sinful condition that we're in. And of course, that's what our plea is on this program every Sunday morning, to come out, to change, to get rid of that worldly life, that sinful life, that ungodly life, that unchristian life, put on Christ in baptism and live the faithful Christian life. There are others here in Clarksville, Tennessee, who are doing that, and you can join and be with them and be encouraged with them. So let's look at the text, starting now in Exodus 18 and verse 21. But if the wicked turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, saith the Lord Jehovah, and not rather that he should return from his way and live? So, first of all, we notice that a wicked man can turn from his ways. We noticed last week that a person can be just and right, and that goes against the Calvinistic teaching that you're born in sin. And the other thing that we learn here in verse 21 is that a wicked man can turn from his way. That also goes against the man-made teaching of Calvinism, that you're born in a depraved nature and there's nothing that you can do to change or get out of that. Exodus chapter 18 is a rather strong answer to John Calvin's teaching, man-made teaching, that was erroneous. So, number one, you're not born in sin. Number two, when you choose to sin later, after you're born, you can get out of that. You can change that. And so God says you can turn from all your sins. Somebody today says, no, I can't. I'm not strong enough, or I've been in it too long. No, you can do that. You can change. And keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right. We noticed last week that you can know the law of God and you can do the law of God. His standard is not so high that you cannot keep that. So when you do that, God says, you will surely live, he shall not die. Now, let's just remind ourselves from our study last week, we're talking about spiritual death here. We're not talking about physical death. So when God says he shall not die, he's not saying that he shall not die physically. He will not die spiritually. He will not be in a spiritual state of separation and out of fellowship with God. He will live, living spiritually, in fellowship with sin removed. But what does it take? You've got to change. You've got to change. And for us today, under the law of Christ, it is repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. You need to do that. And let me encourage you to do that. And God says, none of his transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. And notice that you can do righteousness. You can do what is right. And righteousness is what is defined earlier in verse 21 by God's laws and statutes and commandments. Keeping those things will make you righteous. It's not your own personal righteousness. It's not something you do to merit salvation, but you're keeping God's law, and that makes you righteous in his sight. And that's what God is going to look at. That's what God is going to see. He's not going to remember those previous sins. And notice that God says none of his transgressions. It doesn't matter what we do. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, I've done some very terrible things, and there's no way that God would forgive me. He will. That's just an excuse. He will. Well, what about murder? Something very terrible like that. Yes, you can be forgiven of that, but you've got to obey the gospel plan of salvation. Whether it is a simple lie or whether it is murder or anything in between, if you have violated God's law and you make that change and obey the gospel, none of your transgressions will be remembered. And God has that ability to forget that, and as other prophets say, cast your sins behind his back. It's as if they're just completely gone. Friend, that gives you hope, and that gives us hope. So let's do that very thing. Verse 23, God has no pleasure in the death, the spiritual death of the wicked. So turn. Verse 23, that he should return from his way and live. Change is the theme for today's lesson. Now, moving on, look at verse 24. The same idea of change also applies to the righteous. Here's a person who's lost, a wicked person, but you don't always have to stay in that condition. You can become righteous. And it's the same for the righteous person. A righteous person can change and become lost. This is another tenet of Calvinism that is destroyed by the truth of God's word. Calvinism taught once you're saved, you're always saved. And there are a number of denominations in the land today that teach that very thing. Once you're saved, you're always saved. The Bible never teaches that, both in the Old or in the New Testament. Here's a great example. Look at Exodus 18:24. But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and doth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? It's a rhetorical question. No, he won't. None of his righteous deeds that he hath done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. Again, spiritual death. Once saved, always saved is not taught in the Word of God. So, there may be somebody listening this morning that is trying to live that righteous life, and that's a good thing. Christians trying to live that righteous life. But we have to always be mindful that we can turn away from that, and sin can enter into our lives, and that's what we are going to be judged by. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. It's good to have confidence, and it's good to live the righteous life, and it's good to be faithful. It's good to be trusting and have hope. But at the same time, it is not once saved, always saved. So there's always that possibility of apostasy, of falling away, and that must always be on our mind. So the wicked man, he changes for the good. The righteous man, he changes for the bad. And so change is the theme here. When we become righteous, let us remain on that righteous path. And if a sin comes into our life, let us immediately repent of that and pray for forgiveness. 1 John 1:7-9, where we can be forgiven. But let's not have this attitude that, well, I'm a righteous person, so I don't have to really worry about anything or think about anything. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. That's not what the Scripture teaches. We must always have a humble attitude, a vigilant attitude, and always understand that we can fall. So take heed always. Look at verse 25 of Ezekiel 18. Israel now is going to respond to all of this. It's as if Israel is responding to God, and he's anticipating their response, and he's going to answer it. So Israel has been hearing Ezekiel preach, and he's been saying, number one, you can't use this proverb anymore. Everybody belongs to me. And number two, everybody is held accountable for their own sins. And number three, you can change. If you're a wicked person, you can change. If you're a righteous person, you can stop being righteous. Now, having heard those three things, Israel responds this way. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not equal. We would say today fair. The way of the Lord is not fair or just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? That's a rhetorical question. Are not your ways unequal? I'm not the one being unfair. My way is fair. You're the ones who are being unfair. My way is fair. My way is fair because, number one, I'm holding each person accountable for his or her own sins. And number two, I'm telling you that you can change, and I want you to change. All of that is in the realm of fairness and equity and justice and righteousness. You're the ones who are being unequal. You're the ones who are being unfair by saying we're being blamed for our ancestors' sins. That's not fair. So, God is the fair and just and righteous one. Verse 26, God is going to say it again, just like he had just said it, to spell out the fairness and the justice of God. Verse 26, when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies therein, in his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. That is fair and righteous and just. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. That's a teaching of John Calvin. It was picked up by the Protestant reformers, put into various denominations. We have it among many today. It is not biblical, and it gives people a false hope and a false basis upon which to live. Then he comes back to the wicked man who turns from his wickedness, just like he had said back in verse 21. Again, when the wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet, saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? So he repeats it again, I am being fair. Notice a new statement or concept that is mentioned here in verse 28. This wicked man considers and turns away from all his transgressions that he has committed. He considers the sins that he is committing. That's what's going on today. The lack of it is going on today in that many people are not considering their life. They don't care. They don't read their Bible. They don't know their Bible. They don't match up their behavior with God's Word. They're not considering anything. They're just considering how to live their wicked lives, but they're not considering that it's sin and that it's evil and that it's wrong and that it's against what God says. They don't care about any of that. They're just living their life. And some of them may be good people. They drive the speed limit. They go to work. They pay their taxes, etc. But they're not considering their evil and sinful ways. And we're losing that. We're losing perspective in this country of ours and around the world. Many people do not have self-awareness. They don't know what they're doing. They don't care about what they're doing. But here's an individual who considers and turns from his evil way. It reminds me of the prodigal son that said he came to his mind and he began to think about how he was living and what he used to have when he was in his father's house, and that caused him to return to his father. He came to his senses. He came to his, he began to think and reason. And we've got to spend some time doing that. So many people are just running hard and fast in life that they won't stop and consider that their life is wicked and evil in the sight of God. So I would encourage you, friend, to slow down, open a Bible and start reading that Bible and realize, hey, I've got to make some changes. And God repeats it again in verse 29 that all of this shows the fairness and the equity of God. We hear that so much today about equity. Well, God is fair. God is just. He is no respecter of persons. He treats everyone equally. And that is the great God that we serve. We've got to get back to accountability. We've got to get back to change. We've got to get back to what is right and fair and just in the sight of God. All of these things are lacking in many ways today. And this chapter, this Bible study, is helping us to realize that we can get back to the right way. Let's move on then. Verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you. Notice, going all the way back to verse 4, all souls are mine. We're all going to be held accountable to God, and we're all going to meet him in judgment. And God has come in judgment on at various times, throughout the world, since the beginning of time. The Babylonian captivity was a judgment for Judah, the southern kingdom. There's going to be another judgment day. There's going to be one final judgment day. And Paul, preaching in Athens in Acts 17, 30 and 31, says that all men everywhere need to repent because God is going to judge the world through Jesus Christ. So there's a coming judgment day. It's because we all belong to God. Our souls belong to God. We're held accountable. So God, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. That's fair. And we read that a number of times in the New Testament. It's repeated over and over again in the New Testament that we're going to be judged according to our deeds. It's the same thing in the New Testament teaching. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord Jehovah. Return ye, turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Change, friends, is the key theme of this part of the chapter. Change. Don't stay the same. Change by obeying the gospel. Or as a Christian who's fallen into sin, come back and serve the Lord faithfully. Change, return, and turn yourselves. And notice that you can do that. That's another point of Calvinism that is refuted, where John Calvin said, well, you can't change until there's a direct operation of the Holy Spirit in you. That's not what this says. The Holy Spirit works through his word, certainly, but there's not a direct operation on our heart like Calvin and others taught. Turn yourselves from all your transgressions. You have the power to do that. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. Literally, your stumbling block. Iniquity is what's causing you to fall and fail and falter in life. Get that out of the way. It's messing up your marriage. It's messing up your family. It's messing up your body. It's messing up your work life. It's messing up your social life. Sin is the problem. Get it out of the way so it will not be your ruin. What a great lesson in and of itself there. People do all kinds of things that are sinful, and then they wonder why. Well, why is my body messed up? Why is my marriage messed up? Why is my family messed up? And my work and other relationships that I have in life? Sin, iniquity. So get it out of your life. Notice the plea of God. Notice the invitation. This is the God we serve. Verse 31, cast away from you all your transgressions wherein you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. It reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not up in heaven hoping that you'll stay in your sin, but hoping that you'll get out of it so that you can be with him one day in heaven. That's the great and glorious God that we serve. Now, if we refuse that, yes, there is a harsh side, a wrath of God that we will face, but we don't have to face that. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Make you a new heart and a new spirit. This is a great statement that is actually found more than once in the book of Ezekiel. It's a part of the promised messianic kingdom when people would come back from the Babylonian captivity, and then even more so during the time of Jesus Christ and the New Testament church. In Ezekiel 11:19 and in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, that they would have a new heart and a new spirit. What that is talking about, friends, is a new attitude of obedience. A new attitude of obedience. An attitude that wants to follow the Spirit of God, the words of the Spirit. And we need to have that attitude in us. In Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart, that's the hardened, rebellious heart, out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For as for those whose heart walketh after their heart and their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their way upon their own heads, says the Lord Jehovah. Be a person with a new heart and a new spirit, where your attitude matches the words of the Holy Spirit. And in the other place where that's found, in Ezekiel 36 and verse 26, not only a new heart, but a new spirit. And we need that in our lives. So, the closing admonition then, why will you die? That's a great question. Knowing the plan of salvation, hearing the gospel, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, why will you die after you've heard how to be saved? Why will you die after you've heard that you can change? Why will you die after you've heard that God doesn't want you to be lost? Why will you die after all of these things? It's a rhetorical question. There's no sense in dying spiritually with all of these great things that are right before you. Why will you die? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies, says the Lord Jehovah. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. And that's the closing admonition for us today. Turn yourselves. You can do it. Make that change. We're all held accountable for our own sins and our own righteousness, for that matter. Be a righteous person. Let us help you to do that. Make that change. Make that turn today. Let's sit down and study and make that happen, baptizing you into Christ. What a great chapter, and I'm so glad that God has told us that he wants us to be saved. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.